from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Vibes are good. Vibes are high.
High to quite high. Vibes.
High to quite high. You want to jump in here today? You can. We got the phone lines open early, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. Get in here on the Farmer's Dog Talk Line. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. And a Kings win starts with a 20-point lead and ends with holding on for dear life against the San Antonio Spurs with no Victor Wembanyama. Yikes. But also, I've said it recently. I will say it again. And James, based on how this season is going, this is not going to be the last time I say this. I'm done asking for style points. You just got to stack wins. You got to get into the playoffs.
Just win, baby.
Just that's it.
Just win.
That's it.
Like, I don't care. I don't care what it looks like.
Nope.
But you know what? I think last night's game, it's really interesting because Kings fans started booing. They were upset. And there's an accountability that comes with that. And talking to, you know, Domantas Sabonis and at the podium where, you know, he doesn't like hearing booing. And
well,
then you get in the locker room and Malik Monk is like, no, I don't like, he's like, but you know what the booing did? It motivated me. Like, it pushed me. It made me, like, upset about what was happening. Like, he was already upset about what was happening.
Yeah.
But it, like, oh, these are our own people and they're not happy. So he was like, okay, maybe the booing isn't a bad thing.
That yes!
I think it was for one of the few times that I saw an athlete go, wait.
That's the point of the booing!
They're booing. Now I get it. They're not booing because we're horrible. They're booing because they're disappointed.
Bro, yes. There's an expectation as a fan that, especially for this Kings team, there is this expectation that they are going to play at this level, whatever level that is.
Mm-hmm.
And last night and several other times at home this season, Detroit, Charlotte, they have not
Chicago.
They have not played at that level. And that happens sometimes in sports. But when fans, if the Kings had last night, let's say they were having the season the Thunder are having, and they're in first place, or they're half a game back of first place, or whatever the Thunder are now. And they're in the hunt for first place, and oh, they threw up a stinker against the Victor Wembanyama-less Spurs. Nobody's booing.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, okay, bad game, flush it. It's just that this is a trend now, and people are frustrated, rightfully. It's not, boo, you don't deserve to be paid anymore, you're a bad basketball player. It's, boo, you guys are so much better than this. Why are you not playing better?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's also a little bit of boo. I took my wife and four kids, or three kids, and we're now like $1,200 into this evening, and we showed up to watch a good game, and Victor Wembanyama didn't, and our Sacramento Kings are just failing at the wrong moment.
Right.
Like, and they're, yeah.
It's tough. Players go, I don't like it when fans boo. Good!
Yeah.
That's the point of the booing.
Yeah,
this is a great point by something battle rap in the chatty house. Maybe we should boo up 20 for the whole game period. I think that's right. I just tip off boo.
Well, and shout out to Aiki Akis from Sacktown Royalty and now Sac Herald.
King's Herald.
King's Herald. Yeah, he said, oh, we're up 20. This is the most dangerous point and for any, the most dangerous point for any sport is this the Kings with a 20-point lead.
Honestly, though, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. It feels like that's the case for every team this year.
Yes.
Maybe it's anecdotal. Maybe it's just because it's been this week. But it feels like being up 20 is the new being up by 6. Your 20-point lead in the modern NBA is just not safe at all.
You know,
that's a couple of threes, a couple of stops, and a two, and it's a 12-point game like that. And 12 is nothing.
Let's have that discussion right there with our guest in the second hour with Mr. Mark Jones.
Yeah, we got two guests today, by the way.
We do.
That's different. We sometimes have one. We only have 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it's tough for us. We got a lot to say and trying to fit guests in. And then when you only have 2 hours and the way our breaks line up, it's like, hey, can you do this time on this day? No. Okay.
Okay. Next week.
Yeah. We'll try again later.
We know you travel like 3,000 miles a week, Mark Jones. Can we fit you in?
So Mark Jones going to join us at 11:30. Before that, though, at 11:15, Jason Timpf of Hoops Tonight on The Volume. He is one of my favorite people to listen to talk basketball. Super engaging, super smart. He played a little bit in college, knows the game really well, and he watches. He is not a takesman. He is not a, I think this about this player, and that's just my opinion. He will have his mind changed. He watches a lot of film. So I'm excited to dive in with him. That'll be at 11:15. And then, of course, we get the legend Mark Jones at 11:30. Depending on how much time Mark has, I might just have Mark hang out through the handoff.
Yeah. Well, we'll just let Mark leave when he wants to leave. Yeah. Mark's about as laid back as you're going to find. One of the coolest cats you're ever going to run into. Absolutely love Mark Jones.
Can I tell you a true fact about Mark Jones?
All right.
He has reached the level of broadcaster where when he's on the call, it just feels like a big game.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Breen is there. Joe Buck is there for me. Mm-hmm. Tirico is there. Mike Tirico is in that realm for me.
I mean, it used to be Al Michaels was that.
Al Michaels still is. There's something to the tenor of his voice.
I still love Al Michaels. And Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan, for sure.
Kevin Harlan screaming at you. Kevin Harlan's my favorite.
It's half a dozen, 10 broadcasters that it's just like, oh, this is a big game.
Yeah.
Mark Jones is one of them, for sure. I'm excited to tell him, and this is a true fact, that when I roll up a paper ball and try and shoot it into the garbage, and I make it, I now yell butter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I just think that's such a great call.
There are so many that I sit there, like I've had him, we had him on the happy hour, and I went through, I'm like,
the
King's Beat. Like, where do you come up with this? And he's like, oh, I just sit there and
it's all right here, baby.
And I'm just, and I'm just yelling at the TV watching games. And, and I say something and he's like, sometimes my wife will go, oh, that was good. And then I'll write it down. He's like, and other times I'm just like, I'm just screaming at the TV. I'm just feeling it. Like, some of his stuff is just like, I guess some people don't get it. Every time he does it, I sit there, I chuckle. Like,
it's great.
There is not,
it's so much fun.
It is. There is not a sportscaster, a guy who calls a game that I have ever done this before with, where I call my wife in the room, rewind, and say, listen to what Mark Jones just said.
Yeah.
And she just looks at me like, oh, I can't believe you just said that. Yeah. It's like, that's right. You just said it.
It enhances the viewing experience. It does. Like, we know everybody can say, you know, do play-by-play of a basketball game. They can tell you what's happening in a basketball game. Let me rephrase that. Not everybody can do play-by-play, but everybody can sit there and tell you the gist of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox is dribbling. He passed to Domas. They kicked it out to Keegan in the corner. Keegan passed it for some reason. We'll talk about that. But Keegan didn't shoot it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that, but on the fly, just coming up with these fun things, that's what enhances the broadcast. That's why it's like, I need to tune in. I tune into Mike Breen calls for bang. I want to hear that.
Yeah.
I want to hear way off which is like a knife to the gut when your favorite team is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And in a big spot, a guy misses and Mike Breen says way off. You listen for those calls, and with Mark Jones, you're gonna get something new every single time.
That's right.
And that's right. Butter! It's my favorite thing.
It's spectacular. So many of his calls are spectacular.
There are, to me, so that's coming up at 11:30. Jason Timpf of The Volume coming up at 11:15. So packed second hour with guests. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to chat with those guys. It's funny with this King season because I'm in two frames of mind, right? Mm-hmm. You look at the short term, and you look at the standings, and you go, you will take whatever win you can get. I don't care if you were down 50 to the Spurs last night and had to roar back. I don't care if you smoked a 50-point lead and had to hit a three at the buzzer to win it. Just get the W. The Suns won last night. The Mavericks won last night.
It was on you. You had to win.
You had to get a dub last night, and they did. So that's the short term. But then there's the long term where you go like, ugh, like that's like, ugh. You were up 20 on this version of the Spurs, and you couldn't hold on to it. And then you needed a big defensive stop at the end, two big defensive stops at the end to take the lead, and then hold. Like there's that, but it's impossible to do that. Part of me wanted to say, this is not good. This is big picture bad, because this team should not be hanging with you. You should not, even on the second night of a back-to-back, you cannot be up 20 and then kick your feet up and let the Spurs back into a game like that. Part of me wants to say that. But then you go back to the long-term picture, and in that same frame, you need to make the playoffs. To improve your long-term trajectory, you have to make the postseason this year.
Yes.
Because then your pick conveys, it goes to the Hawks, and you can now easily trade your next, what is it, 5 years?
Four of the next seven.
You can trade four of the next 7 years of picks.
Yeah.
Which makes it easier to acquire pieces that you'll need, that they definitely need. But the bottom line to all of this is, if you think they're going to win a championship this year, cool. I don't. But you have to make the playoffs. And that's why last night, okay, was it great that you blew a 20-point lead? No. Was it great that you had to hold on at the end and come back at the end? You were down 8 in the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
No. But in that same frame, they won and they kept themselves in the hunt to make the playoffs, which is the ultimate thing they need to do this year.
Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, it's not just about the conveying of the picks and everything else. It's about establishing a culture that you are a playoff team.
That's another good point.
That, for me, is one of the biggest things. One and done is not a good thing. You need to establish that you are building something and that this is the step one, and then you get to step two, and maybe you get to the second round, and then maybe down the year after, you somehow find a way to get up to the conference finals, or maybe even make it to the finals. That's like, there is a natural progression here that needs to take place, right? The second thing is, like, Mike Brown was clear last night. Like, yeah, that's not how we want to win.
Right.
We do not want to win that way. But you know what? At the end of the day, let's not disrespect who they are. Let's not disrespect what's happening here in this season. The fact that we played the night before, the fact that we came up with an emotional win in LA, and we fly home, we're tired, all that stuff. You package it all up. It doesn't matter if they don't have Victor Wembanyama or not. They still have guys that can flat out put the ball in the bucket. And that's, you're playing an NBA team, and you want to just say, well, you're way better than them. It's like, okay, yeah, we don't want to win that way,
mm-hmm.
but we won. And so let's celebrate the win.
Mm-hmm.
And I would much rather talk about, you know, learning something from a win than learning something from another loss to a bad team.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, that's, you're right, Kyle. They've got to stack wins. They're back to 10 games over 500. They're back in the they've got to punch a shot here because they've got a whole bunch of home games. Mm-hmm. You protected home court, even if it didn't look good. And you know what? Fans had a blast.
Yes.
That place was packed.
It was dead.
It was dead. But then it was rocking.
Yes.
And off the charts, and like everyone's having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like, okay, that's what it's about.
They're nothing if not exciting.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, dude, I texted you like mid third quarter. Is like, bro, That place, you can hear everything on the broadcast.
Well, that's because everyone's like, oh no, it's happening again. Right. And the players, like Domantas Sabonis was like, he said it. Oh, yeah. You know, we were like the oh no, we're it's happening again moment. Mm-hmm. I was like, ugh, not great.
All right, let's dig into last night's game. We'll have James Hamm's six quick thoughts coming up for you next. We'll take a look around the league. And, of course, we've got Jason Timpf of The Volume talking basketball, one of my favorite people to talk basketball with at 11:15. And we'll have Kings broadcaster Mark Jones at 11:30 as well. Tons coming up for you on a Friday. The vibes are high. We'll be back in a second.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, briefly, before we get to six quick thoughts. AMDG Sports, the agency for 49ers right tackle Colton McKivitz, has announced that San Francisco has given McKivitz a one-year, $7 million extension. McKivitz started all 17 games for the 49ers at right tackle last season. And they were apparently happy enough with his performance to give him a another year extension. But I don't want to, like, offensive line play, am I right? I still think the 49ers need to find some, if not competition for him, better depth. Anyways, doesn't matter. his agency reported it with a graphic that says, new deal alert, one-year extension, $7 million, 65% fully guaranteed. 50% of the time, it's fully guaranteed every time.
65%, so...
65% fully guaranteed. So, no, it's just 65% guaranteed.
Oh.
You can't have a 65% fully guaranteed deal.
Oh.
It's just... Is that wording not weird?
It is weird.
Am I missing something?
Well, no, but they're saying like 65% of the 7 million should be guaranteed.
Right, which is... Right, that's... that. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
So whatever, you're better at quick math than I am, but...
Yeah, I was close there. Let's see.
My bad. James is doing the math in his head right now.
Yeah.
To find out. Whatever the number is, I love that they put 65% fully guaranteed. It's 65% guaranteed, man.
Yeah, it's a little, it's like 4.8 million guaranteed.
Great. Good for him.
That's wild.
Good for him. We'll do some Niner stuff. Maybe we'll do that next week. Oh yeah, we will definitely do that next week because free agency starts next week. So the 49ers getting out ahead of that. Matt Maiocco also reported that he's expecting a couple of other veteran role players to likely get extensions here in the next couple of days. So expect that to be coming down. And of course, we will talk about it here on ESPN 1320. But we need to talk about the Kings win last night. Let's dive deep with James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Six quick thoughts brought to you by your business. If you want to sponsor the show, let us know.
It could be you.
It could investors, possibly you.
It could be you. Six quick thoughts. They do really well on social media as well, Kyle.
Last week we put liquid paper on a bee. It died. All right. Six quick thoughts, number one, James.
Too skilled. Domantas Sabonis made quick work of Zach Collins and the Spurs bigs. I did tell you, Dominic Barlow played.
He can play a little.
I like Dominic Barlow a lot.
He had zero for Domas defensively, but that's because he's young.
6 foot nine, small forward, power forward. Okay. Domas pushed the tempo. He led the break, and then he bullied his way to the rim. Extended his double streak to 45 games, 31 points, 17 rebounds, 9 assists.
Man,
he good.
He's really good.
Yeah, he was
really,
really
good,
good
last night. And had the game-sealing bucket, game-winning bucket.
That was...
with the steal and the dunk.
Tremendous.
That was great. It was great. Heads up. Smart basketball. Love that for him. I thought he had a triple-double last night.
No, he came one assist short because everyone kept missing shots.
14 of 19 from the field. That's what I'm talking about. 14 and 19 for the... Man, no, he was just... a second game in a row. He's been super dominant, and that's what I've been wanting to see from him all year. In spots where the other team has a big who can't guard you, just get your ass in the post and go score on him every time. That's what he did. Love that game from Domas last night.
He, right now, 20 points, 13.5 rebounds, which leads the NBA. 8.4 assists per game.
Pretty good, man.
He is, pretty good.
Not bad. Okay, number two.
loose with the handles. Malik Monk got it going once again for the Kings, playing with energy and flair. He also turned the ball over a bunch of times. He had 18 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. His 6 turnovers hurt, but his late 3 ball was absolutely incredible. In the locker room, you know what he said?
What did he say?
3's better than 2.
You know, analytics, baby. Thank you, Malik. Malik Monk, welcome aboard the Nerd Gang. 3 points is more than 2 points. I was so sure in that spot that he was just going to drive down and lay it up. It's like, all right, they're going to have to play some defense. But no, he circled out, and I loved that you could tell. So he drives into, like, free throw line extended, looks around, realizes that, hey, nobody's going to get here to either get this rebound or guard me. And I would way rather him take that than a contested wild layup, than a contested 2. Not to step out, get your wide open 3. And I think Malik Monk is the player on the Kings that I most want taking that shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, just like a stellar play. Yeah. Like, he was really good.
It was awesome. Number 3.
Number 3. I actually have to turn the page. De'Aaron.
You're welcome.
We talked about
You're
this.
You're
welcome. De'Aaron Fox was incredible early on Wednesday. He was incredible on Wednesday at Crypto with 44 points. He didn't quite have the same effect in this game, but 33 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. He had 17 points in the fourth quarter before fouling out. Yep. And his foul out was like, oh, come on, man. What are we doing reaching right there?
That's bad.
It was bad.
I get trying to make a play.
Yeah.
Bad review by Mike, too. I get why he did it, just in case, because your superstar fouled out.
Well,
that was a foul.
I think he was like, well, we probably need a timeout to collect ourselves, so I might as well just challenge it, because either way, I'm going to lose the timeout.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I thought it was an interesting moment. But, yeah, you just can't do that right there.
Yeah, I get, you know, wanting to come up with a defensive play, but you got it with 5 fouls. You just can't.
I was thinking the whole time, you know what? If I were De'Aaron Fox, I would run up and just take the ball from him. So I shouldn't say that, like, because that's what I was watching. He was kind of hiding out by the 3-point line and just kind of like lollygagging, wasn't really watching. And I'm like, oh man, Fox needs to just run up and take the ball from him. And then boom, you get called with a foul. I think most like star level players don't get that. You know, a lot of times they won't get that call.
Yeah, no doubt. Number 4.
Put up points. Harrison Barnes quietly made an impact in this game. I don't think people would even know that he finished with 17 points on 6 of 9 shooting and 5 of 5 from the line.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't grab very many rebounds. He had 1 rebound and 2 assists, no steals, no blocks. But the Kings needed someone else to actually put points up. And when he gets going and goes to the rim and like gets to the free throw line, the Kings are a better team. So good for Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, man. Teams close out on him so hard on the free at the 3-point line, and he is a skilled enough player to put the ball on the deck, get to the rack. Mm-hmm. Especially smaller players, they can't hang with him when he gets down on the block. When he gets in the paint, draws a ton of fouls. I love when he incorporates that aspect of his game. I thought he was really effective last night. Number 5.
Number 5, demanding playing time.
Yep.
Keon Ellis is just. Man, if you're missing out and you don't understand what Keon Ellis means right now to this team, there were people on the Twitter box making stupid comments that Keon Ellis should never play over Davion Mitchell. In 17 minutes, he had 11 points, he had 3 rebounds, he had 2 steals, ran a plus 15, hit 3 of 5
team high
from 3.
Plus 15.
Yeah, like Keon Ellis is really, really impactful in a different way.
And I, Katie said this last night on the TV broadcast, and I could not agree more with her. It felt like there were 3 Keon Ellis's on the floor. He was everywhere, offensively, defensively, and that's the kind of player that we, after the Bulls game, it's like, man, the Kings need some dogs, dude.
Yeah.
Like, they just need somebody to go out there who's, okay, he might not be the best player on the court, but dude, he's going to try his ass off. He's going to be in the right spot. He's going to make the right plays. And Keon Ellis just consistently does that. Whether he could do that across 30 minutes, I don't know. But 18 to 20, I think the Kings are, the best version of the Kings involves Keon Ellis in the rotation.
I totally agree. And then the other thing, Mike brought this up earlier in the year that he said he's not Bruce Bowen, but he brought up Bruce Bowen. Keon's ability to go under or over a screen. He can go over a screen and still recover. He can go under a screen and recover and defend the three-point line, which is very, very rare. He is so, you know, De'Aaron Fox is fast and quick. Keon Ellis is so quick. His lateral movement is crazy, and he doesn't get hung up on screens. Like, he has an ability to get around a screen that you kind of wish some of the other players did, including Davion. And Davion had a nice game as well, 4 or 5 from the field. Good game for Davion.
Number 6, quickly.
Tough go. Keegan Murray and Kevin Huerter struggled. I don't get Keegan Murray scoring 3 points on 1 of 4 shooting. Kevin Huerter went scoreless. And like the videos of Kevin Huerter afterwards, not great. Not a great look of him not celebrating, him not being engaged with what's happening on the court. They got to figure this one out. These guys, I asked Mike Brown about it. I asked De'Aaron Fox about it. They got to figure out how to get those guys involved and get them back feeling the right way.
Yeah.
It's not
great. Right there with you. The vibe is not good. We'll give you the Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game, your chance to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and a Kings jersey. That is coming up next. We'll do some scoreboard watching. We'll go through the good, bad, and ugly. And I'm going to tap into Will Z, willzstats.com. I'm going to try and get some numbers on a 5-man lineup that I think the Kings need to run out there more, and we'll talk about that as well on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now. Pick one.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Domantas Sabonis averaging 13.5 rebounds. 8.4 assists this season. That has happened one other time in NBA history. Has a player averaged those numbers? It was Wilt Chamberlain in 1967-1968. Dang.
Damn. It's just one of those things. If people on the outside aren't paying attention to what he's doing, like, what are you doing? How is the narrative wrong on this guy? And
because I know this is not my thought.
Okay.
This is not a Kyle Madsen original. This is not what I think. When people go, how do you not? How is this guy? I'm with you here.
Yeah.
It is because in this era, the first thing people do when they go look at who are the best players in the NBA is they go to NBA stats or ESPN or basketball reference or whatever, and they go to points per game, sort.
Yep.
And if he averaged 24, people would be like, whoa, look at this guy. But because he averages 19, 20, people are like, eh. Like that's the trend of analysis in the modern NBA is who can get you a bucket? Who's a bucket getter? I would love to go out, and I wouldn't because this would take a lot of time and it wouldn't probably bear that much fruit. But but I would love to go talk to just guys like Faraz Siddiqui, mm-hmm. who we do Fantasy Fridays with during the football season. Basketball fan, but not locked into the Kings. But knows kind of in general what's going on. And if I said, hey, who would you rather have, Malik Monk or Domantas Sabonis? I bet a lot of people, more people than you think, would say Malik. Because he's just known as like, oh man, he's a scorer. He just had 35 the other night or 39 the other night. I think that's just kind of the, and that might be an exaggeration, but the point is people go, hey, who can get you a bucket? And that's...
Yeah, I mean, that it's like, it is. It's like the chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah. I don't, commercial. Again, not saying I agree that. That's just why I think, I think that's the explanation.
Well, I know. I mean, it the home run kind of ruined baseball. You know, you got a bunch of dudes batting 220, 230 mm-hmm. who hit a bunch of jacks, and those guys in the 80s and early 90s, that's mm-hmm. like Rob Deere.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, who's Rob Deere? It's like, exactly. Nobody cared about Rob Deere because he hit 30 home runs, but he struck out 175 times and batted 220 and was out of the league quick. That's mm-hmm. just not modern baseball. And it's the same thing for NBA, like players who score, you're right. But 20 points per game is enough.
I mean,
if you're averaging 20, 13.5, and 8.4, and you're shooting 42% from three, and you're shooting 60% from the field.
I don't disagree.
Like,
bro.
What in the world are we doing?
I don't disagree, man.
Yeah.
But to be fair, to just kind of go back, like the whole All-Star thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you go look at the All-Star thing is the one that baffles me. Because if you go ask anybody with, I don't know, pick your favorite, the Ringer, the Volume, whatever, yeah, I'm sure ESPN. If you go looked at All-Star snubs or people who should have been All-Stars, like Domas is at the top. How is this guy not an All-Star? So that's where I don't think there's an explanation at all. But then to go back to the Ringer, we just talked about their top 100 players in the league right now. Their last rankings, which came out February 14th, had Domas at like 26?
Yeah, that's 23? Just wild.
And that's what I don't...
For a guy who finished like, what, 7th in MVP balloting last year and now is
and
better.
Is having a better year, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's wild. Yeah.
I wish I did. I wish I had a good answer.
Yeah.
But I don't.
I don't know another comp. I just don't. I there isn't really another comp where a guy does something so, like, it's so well-rounded and does everything well, except for block shots. And I don't care about that anyways, you know?
Yeah, I think this is a good point in the chatty house, too. He's not flashy enough either. His game isn't sexy. Like, that's the other thing, is if he averaged 20 but was knocking down three threes a game and blocking a bunch of shots and dunking and doing, like, high-flying super athlete, I bet, you know what, to use the who would people rather have thing, I bet most people would be like, I'd rather have Jaren Jackson Jr., which is insane.
Oh, no. That's
but he shoots threes, and look at all the shots he blocks, and oh, man.
I think it's interesting, though, because you brought up the it's not flashy enough, it's not this, it's not that. Well, Jokic isn't flashy. Like, yeah, he averages 26 a game.
Yeah, I can't bring Jokic into this for me because he is just such an outlier in terms of...
Oh,
the
yeah.
way he plays,
efficiency
the way he
and everything
games.
Else. No,
he's ridiculous.
No, I agree.
But your point is, I think it's that, hey, here's this guy who's not, he's not a high flyer. He's not, but he's just so different and he's been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't know, man. I would love to go to the universe where Domas shoots two more threes a game and averages 23 points. Just and see what that looks like. Maybe it's the same. Maybe it is Sacramento. And maybe people are just like, yeah, Sacramento, they've been so bad for so long. What good players could they possibly have? Maybe mm-hmm. it is that. But
Yeah.
Make the playoffs, play well in the playoffs, and that's how you're going to get recognized.
It'll take care of itself.
Yep.
In the end, it will.
No doubt. Let's get to some of the good, bad, and ugly. Actually, you know what? Let's pause real quick. Since we're talking about Domantas Sabonis, let's get to our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game. ESPN1320.com. Click on the Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page. It's right there at the front. You can't miss it. And enter the keyword Domas, because Domantas Sabonis is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game. Congratulations to him. He can't be an all-star, but he can be the Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game. Enter the code word Domas at ESPN1320.com. And enter for your chance to win a Jiffy Lube gift certificate, a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, and enter for a chance to win a Kings jersey, which we'll be giving away at the end of the month. Shout out to Domas. Really great game last night.
Yeah,
on both ends. He had a couple of really, really good defensive possessions too, including the game-winning steal and dunk.
Yeah, it was spectacular. Watching that play unfold to me. If you saw Greg Popovich, like the wide-out pan view of, is Popovich yelling
yes.
for yes. Zach Collins to get up, yes. and set the screen, right? Or to at least get the ball at the top so then they could play off of Zach Collins. Mm-hmm. And he just lollygagged up there.
It was crazy, dude.
And Sabonis is seeing the same thing Collins is, like, oh, well, I know what's coming.
Yes.
And just like, oh, no, he's going to do it. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I asked him what was going through your head. He's like, oh, I was like, I got to go dunk it fast because I was worried they were right behind me. They were right behind him. I was like, oh, man. It's almost like the LaDainian Tomlinson down it at the 1 yard line. You're like, oh, wait. Hold on to it as long as you can. He's like, no.
Yeah, no, you just got to go get the bucket there.
That's right.
Was it Sohan that passed it?
No, I don't think so.
I forget whoever passed. It was, he said, I thought they were right behind me. And it was so funny. There was like this delay where he stole it and everybody on the Spurs kind of collectively looked at each other and then went, oh, we should probably hustle. We should try and hustle back.
What were you thinking? Oh, wait, dude. No.
Zach Collins walked to the top of the circle. It took him forever to get there.
I now like watching him, I understand like your hatred of him.
Buddy.
The whole time, he does have a face of like, what is happening? What is happening? It was Branham with a bad pass turnover.
Oh, yeah. Malachi Branham.
Yeah. So, like Zach Collins, the whole game was like, I can't believe this is happening to me. It's like, yeah, bro. Like, you're getting destroyed.
Yeah.
And then shout out to our friend Scott Moak. When they decided to go all in on, and for some reason, you know, I'm looking at the box score right now, right? Mm-hmm. The NBA box score doesn't even have the other guy that played, like the guy that we can't say his name.
Sandro?
Yeah, Sandro.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on the NBA box score. Am I crazy? He played last night. I watched him play.
Yeah, he definitely played.
He definitely played. For some reason, he is not at on the box score for the game. And I text Mike Moak during the game and said, hey, man, like spectacular. Because he just like, now we're into the game. Like, and it's Sandro Mamukelishvili.
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, Mamukelishvili.
Mm-hmm.
He just like, and I'm like, I'm like, great work with the mama, whatever. Like, and he responded back. And then I may have said that guy looks like the bad guy from a prison series on HBO.
He does.
And he says he agrees.
He does. I was trying to confirm on the NBA stats thing, but I can't find it. So.
Yeah, how is it that, like, again, on their own box score, like, I know it's, if I look at the game book is going to have him. There's no way that they would make that mistake. Yeah.
He's in the game book?
Yeah, it's in the game book. He played 4 minutes and 24 seconds.
He's on the NBA box score.
Oh, he's not on mine. Like, NBA.com?
NBA.com/game/SAS/SAC-002230. He's right there. Second from the bottom, Devontae Graham, DNPCD, Blake Wesley, then Sandra.
I must have had like it hadn't refreshed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah, it's there.
All right. Because I'm looking. They only had four guys off the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they, good game for Domas.
They have a lot of interesting players. They do. Like I told you before, like I know you thought I was going crazy talking about Dominic Barlow yesterday, and I'm like, hey, I'm giving.
No, I just didn't have a. I don't have Dominic Barlow takes for you. Sorry.
Yeah, I would give up like I would give up a couple of second round picks for Dominic Barlow. I think he's going to be a ball player, and he wasn't all that impressive last night. But again, playing out of position.
But you can tell. You can tell when a player is playing if they have like a feel for the sport or not.
Yes.
When James Wiseman first stepped on an NBA court, and you watched him play, you went, ugh. Does it? It's really clear this guy has played three basketball games in the last year and a half. Like, this is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then just as he goes, it's like, you know what? The feel is not there. But then you go watch, let's just stick with, like, Brandon Pajemski, much lower pick for the Warriors this year, having a really nice year, has a great feel. And you can just see, oh, that guy knows how to play. Dominic Barlow, to me, didn't have a great game yesterday, got pushed around by Domas every time he guarded him, but you can, he's in the right spots defensively, does the right stuff offensively, can shoot it a little bit from the mid-range. You just see all the tools to be, not going to be an all-star, and I don't think that's what you were saying.
Yeah.
But, man, this guy could eventually, should eventually be
a rotation player,
minimum. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And even, I think, the biggest one for me was, you know, like, because being here in Sacramento, I've seen so many draft picks come through.
Right.
Man, the second Tyrese Halliburton stepped on a game in preseason, you were like,
yeah.
What in the world?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's him.
Yeah.
Like, you knew it. Like, instantly, you're like,
this is stupid that he's playing in this game right now.
Well, and it was like, it's the pandemic year, right? So, and that's when he's drafted. He's drafted during the pandemic, right? During the shutdown of whatever. Like, that's when he gets drafted. Because he was playing in college.
He was in, his first year was 2021?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I'm so old.
Yeah, 2021. Okay, so yes.
Oh.
He's a 12th overall pick. Oh, well, no, he's a 12th overall pick in the 2020 NBA draft.
Oh my God.
Yes. So, but the thing was, during that time, people forget, like, he got injured in January. He broke a bone in his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was done. He didn't play. And so that was a bad deal, though, because not only did he not play for the rest of the basketball season, but then everything gets pushed way out. Like, so nobody's paying attention to a kid who played a couple of games because we were waiting for the bubble to happen and the game, you know, everything to come back. It takes forever for everything to come back. I don't think the draft is until like November, right?
Yeah, it was late.
Yeah. So I had to write mock drafts for NBC Sports that year. I wrote 22 mock drafts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to write mock drafts every 2 weeks during the pandemic while nothing was changing.
Right.
I just had to write new things. So, and I had moved like Halliburton all the way up to like number four. There might have even been a point where I put him at number two where the Warriors were drafting.
Yeah.
Right. Because we had heard rumor that the Warriors,
they loved him.
They did. They loved him. They had interest in him. But then, you know, with me, what I do with draft is I start looking at, I compare the teams and I look to see how we would fit.
Sure.
And then I move players around. And then I had him, there were times where I had him dropping to the Kings at 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, like, look, the reason he's going to, if he does drop, is because people aren't sure if his skill set translates. Because what he was in college was spectacular. He wasn't this type of passer, but the rebounding numbers were off the charts. The scoring numbers, the shooting numbers, everything was spectacular. He was a good passer, but he wasn't Steve Nash.
Yeah.
And so you're like, hey, look, I kept writing, if it translates, he's a team is going to stumble on a really, really
day
good
one,
player.
Good player, yep.
Yeah, but it doesn't always translate. I mean, like, look at Johnny Davis. Johnny, you could say the same thing. If Johnny Davis's like college game translates to the NBA, he's another Tyrese Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. I don't even know if he's in the league at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not playing. And so when he stepped on the court the first time, you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Like,
a lot of feel.
Just the feel. You could see the whole time, the way he moved, the way he created space for himself.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even like how he was shooting or whether he was making buckets or not.
Yeah.
It was the way that he floated around and created space for himself and others. The way his court vision, you just saw it like instantly. It was like, wow, that is crazy to watch a player that falls to number 12, that just has all of it right away.
Yeah, yeah. And it feels like Dominic Barlow, not comparing him to Tyrese Halliburton, obviously, but just little things like that that he does during the game, you're going, that could be a good player if he gets...
Yeah,
he develops and gets an opportunity to play.
Yeah, if he gets in the right situation, yeah, and goes to the right spot.
Yeah, all right. Let's get to good, bad, and ugly before we get to our second hour. I really need to make an intro for that. I have some new time to devote to things here at this station, and near the top of my list is going to be an intro for good, bad, and ugly. But let's start. What was good last night for you, James?
Good for me. Fox bonus Monk willed the team to a victory.
Yep.
Like, this thing went off the rails, and they had some players who were struggling, but their stars, like, you could feel Fox trying to get the team to win. You could feel Sabonis trying to figure out a way to get there, and then coming up with the late steal, the 3-point shot by Monk. Mm-hmm. All of it just like, oh, look, these guys get it.
It's two games in a row.
Yeah, they're with everybody else in the building. They get it. Mm-hmm. They know that it's winning time. Mm-hmm. It's time. Like, go win the game.
Yep. Two games in a row with the Lakers. It was keeping them at arm's length, not letting them get all the way back into the game. Last night, it was, okay, hey, Kings have let go of the rope. Let's grab it. Let's pull this W back to our side. And that's what everything this year for the Kings is going to come down to is, forget the future for a second. Talking about this year, if you tell me there's a world where the Kings make a deep playoff run, it's because of those three players.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what I've been wanting all year. Like, dudes, when there's a game for the taking, you guys go take it.
Yes.
I don't want, go get it to De'Aaron and get a paint touch. Get a shot up in the paint. Don't kick it out to Trey Lyles. No disrespect to Trey Lyles, but you pay De'Aaron Fox, you pay Domantas Sabonis, you're going to pay Malik Monk to take those shots.
Yep.
And they did it two nights ago. They did it last night. I love it. The good thing for me, Domas' defense.
Mm.
Not only the steal to put the game away, but there were multiple times where he got verticality, contesting shots without fouling. I thought defensively, as good as he was offensively last night, I thought he did a really, really nice job on the defensive end as well.
Yeah, he had the play on, was that Branham too that was going to the rim? And that's where Pop got upset.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that there was a foul that was missed right there. And then even the 50-50 ball that Monk flew in and they slammed into somebody, that looked like it could have been a foul and could have gone the other way.
The refs last night, at one point in the fourth quarter, I don't know if they'd left. I don't know if they lost their whistles, but there were a couple sequences where it's like, somebody fouled someone. I don't know who. There were fouls there, but it was like there were multiple fouls being committed, so they're like, play on.
It's funny. I was a pool reporter for last night's game,
yeah.
And no one triggered the pool. I've never had someone trigger the pool where I have to actually go ask a question, but... Like, I was waiting for it because there were some moments. I mean, Popovich should have been tech. He should have been hit with a tech.
Yeah.
Without any question.
Incensed.
He lost his mind. He was very, very, very upset.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, this is the way it goes. Like, yeah. Play on.
It was, I would so much prefer that to the touch foul whistle era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Me too.
I'm totally fine with that. What was bad last night?
Bad. You gave up the big lead.
Yep.
Again.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
How many times are we going to do this?
Every time, dude. Every time. It's my mistake I said, you know what? Kings minus 10.5. This is the night they pull it together. They're going to figure it out tonight. They're just not. That was stupid. That was bad. That was a bad job by me. Anyways. That was all.
It happens.
It does.
It does.
I don't know. You said how many times are we going to do this? How many more bad teams that are shorthanded are they going to play?
Well, the next thing...
They play Portland last game of the season?
Oh, yeah.
That's an L. Mark it down now.
Yeah, I'm just getting... Like, your bad is going to be funny. Because this is the same thing. Like, how many times are they going to blow a lead?
Bro.
How many times are you going to let somebody shoot the three?
The Spurs can't shoot threes. You said it yesterday.
They shoot 34% from
you
three.
You said your key was let him shoot the three. And I went,
let him shoot
what?
It.
And the chatty house went, What are you doing?
Let him shoot
it. Why are you doing this? And sure enough, the Spurs, one of the worst, the worst three-point shooting team in the league, 16 for 34. That's 47.1%.
It's just incredible. I'm telling you, man, this is such, like in the NBA, there are self-fulfilling prophecies. There are. When you are a bad defensive team, and the other team just gets amped up. They can't wait to play you. Because you're a bad defensive team. Like, the mid guys on the roster are like, oh, I'm going for 15 tonight. We're playing the Kings. I'm gonna launch.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Let me, real quick, let's see. Who shot it well from three last night? Zach Collins, 2 for 3. Why not?
Yeah.
Devin Malachi Wessel. Branham, 5 for 5. Let's see, Zach Whew. Collins. What percentage do you think Zach Collins is shooting from three this year?
34%.
30.6.
Oh, wow.
That's after last night where he went 2 for 3. Malachi Branham. What do we think Malachi Branham is shooting from three this year? He went 5 for 5, by the way.
29.6.
35.3.
Okay.
And he takes 3.3 a game.
Keldon Johnson, 4 of 11. Keldon's not a bad shooter. 36?
Keldon Johnson shot 36.4% last night. For the season, he is at 34.3.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, and this is the second time this has happened. The Spurs shot a big percentage against Sacramento at Golden 1 last time they played, too.
Man. Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's pretty wild. I mean, they had four guys score 20 or more.
And this is where Mike Brown talks about, you know, hot shooter, get in their hip. You know, you want to go, you want to elevate. Now they're, you know, you start, Dylan Brooks has popularized this, and you're starting to see guys do this. In fact, I think Domas did it last night, or Alex Len, one of them. You high-five the shooter.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can touch their hand after the ball go.
Huh.
You can't get them on the... But you can get their hand after they let the ball go.
Yeah, but if you impact their finish motion, isn't that... It should be a foul.
I don't... Dylan Brooks is not getting called for it.
Well,
and if it... But anyways, that's not the point. Whether it should or shouldn't be a foul. It's not like the Kings are doing that. It's just like, dude... Malachi Branham or Zach Collins, you're going to leave him open? Like, yeah, that's a shot you'll live with. Mm-hmm. And all the guys where you fear the Kings, you're going, hey, we'll live with that guy hitting threes. They always hit them against the Kings.
Well, it's the Suns.
I don't understand it.
Like, Josh Okogie, go ahead and shoot it. Boom. All right. You know, Royce O'Neal, go ahead and shoot it. Like, boom.
Yeah.
What's his name? Nasir Little. Not shooting well at all. Boom. Hits it. You're like, what is happening?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, what was ugly?
Ugly, Kevin Huerter disappeared completely. And again, I asked Mike about it, and like, we got to do a better job of getting these guys easy buckets, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but I mean, Kevin Huerter went scoreless, and that's not something that you expect from him. Mm-hmm. And he's got to impact the game in other ways, but 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 3 from 3, that's not great.
Don't love that.
No.
Especially for a guy who's complaining about his playing time.
Yes. Hmm. Well, he's down to 16 minutes. So.
Yeah, this feels just like an extension of what happened in the preseason. There's just better, like, they're, with Davion Mitchell and Keon Ellis playing as well as they are, if Kevin Herter's not knocking down threes, they just don't know where the minutes are.
They just give you something different.
There's an energy to it.
Yeah.
On both ends, I just...
Yeah, it's tough.
Yep. Ugly for me, we can talk about this next segment if you want. Keegan Murray, 1 for 4. I don't care that you only made one of your shots. 4 shots? He has taken 20 shots in their last 3 games.
Something just looks off.
I don't... Maybe he's banged up. Maybe he's got something going on.
He is banged up. I will tell you, he had his right shoulder KT taped up big time. And then he wore sleeves, like half sleeves over it, which is unusual for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I might want to point to a little bit. And he's just trying to focus on the defensive end. I think he's a little banged up, but man, it's tough. He has not been effective.
Then the Kings need to let him sit a couple games, because I do not think that whatever he's doing right now is helpful to him or the team.
No. So, no, I get that.
Yeah. All right, that's good, bad, and ugly. We can continue talking about the Keegan Murray thing, but we can also I have an interesting stat here from Wilsey Stats, WilseyStats.com, that I want to talk about, and then we can talk about what's going on around the NBA as well. That's coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.